Welcome back. Who's talking? Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney, Michael Tusky here in studio with our engineer Jesse, and we're going to be joined momentarily by former Virginia star Tim Mullen, and Frank is going to do the introduction.
You know, Tim, a terrific role player, played at UVA 1982 to 1985, played with some stellar ball players back in the day, our good friend Jimmy Miller, who's been a consistent guest on the show, Othell Wilson, Rick Carlisle, Kenton Edelin, Tom Sheehy.
There was a guy by the name of Sampson, too, you know, in that period.
Olden Polonese.
Jeff Lamp.
Ricky
Riker,
Stokes.
You.
Yeah. Dan Merrifield, one of my favorite rebounders. Anthony Solomon. I think we've covered them all. Kenny Lambiot. How about that name? You probably forgot that name, Hobo.
No, I hadn't forgotten it, but a lot of great players in those days. But all right, Tim, are you with us? We may not have the connection just yet.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, there's a delay. Hey, Tim.
Thanks for joining us tonight. You know, now, Tim, the one thing I found interesting doing a little research, and you and I had the exact same field goal shooting percentage. You may not have been aware of that.
I did not. And what is it, out of curiosity?
47.9. You know, your ACC guide and... in your day, you attempted 677 shots. I attempted 649.
Wow.
But you played a few more games than I did, in part thanks to the fourth year and in part thanks to a guy by the name of Ralph Sampson. You got a few more playoff games than I – or not playoff, NCAA games and tournament games and so forth. But anyway,
not to mention they got to play, at that point, a very small lineup because of him. So
right.
we had more guards playing, which was good for me.
Yeah, it's nice to be on the wing with Ralph Sampson. When they double-teamed him, there was probably some open looks for Tim Mullen.
I think that's right, and even it was even better defensively because you could play up on everybody, and to the extent somebody went by you, all you had to do was just chase them into Ralph, and it made for very, very difficult plays.
Well, people went by me all the time, but I didn't have Ralph behind me.
Yeah, the Olay defense was very popular for Hobo.
Well, right. What we can say is that it was a plan. When we were playing and they went by us, it was a plan.
It was all intentional. It was by design.
That's right.
Tim, let's get down to brass tacks. All right, you played for Terry Holland, a coach that believed in good, hard-nosed defense, and now you're watching Tony Bennett using a different style of defense. I wonder if you'd like to sort of contrast the two styles a little bit for our listeners.
The style now is very similar to what Coach Holland did my last 2 years, which in UVA years would be Olden Polonese's first 2 years.
Okay.
And because when Ralph was there, we essentially had a very up-tempo team. We were constantly running and pressing and everything else because you had a shot blocker, which, you know, they obviously don't have or they don't have as strong a one now. But the second 2 years, yeah, it's actually a very similar style. There's, you know, a ton of trapping or collapsing on whoever gets the ball in the post, a lot of help helping out, just very good, solid man-to-man defense. With Ralph, you could not only press and, full court, we also had a bunch of sort of 1-3-1 pressing things because, you know, having a guy like that behind you gives you so many, opportunities to make other teams, force mistakes and stuff.
Well, of course, the shot clock, when did the shot clock come in? Was it during your tenure?
It was actually after my first year, and it was because of a particular game against North Carolina, where in the ACC finals, the first half was about the best half of basketball, at least I've ever been involved in, and where the teams are running up and down and just going at each other. And Carolina at that point has James Worthy and Michael Jordan, they had a really strong team. And I think it was maybe tie scored at halftime. But Ralph had a couple fouls. I think he had three fouls. And they went up by maybe 1 or 2 points at the beginning of the second half and decided to hold the ball. And so Coach Holland thought, we'll just turn this into a 45 or 30-second game and just let the pressure build on them. So, I mean, you can just imagine how, you know, how irritated the, you know, whoever was doing the, whatever network had the game was, you know, to have just this nothing of a second half of a game.
Well, it's amazing. And, you know, Dean had Perkins, Worthy, and Jordan, and he was holding the ball.
Exactly. against Ralph and, you know, was often called a bunch of nobodies, you know, some of whom were some very good players. But, you know, those guys had these, they were, Carolina was this name group. And, yeah, Dean just thought it was better to hold the ball.
Well, you know, the one thing, and I've made this point back in the day before the shot clock, teams that thought they had better personnel did a lot of pressing and things of that sort to force tempo, whereas today with the shot clock, you don't see as much of that.
Yeah, I mean, I like it much more now. I mean, the shot clock's a great invention. And you may remember they kind of monkeyed around with the rules. Not only the, you know, I think it was a 25-second clock, a 35-second. They also moved the three-point line out.
All over the place.
Yeah, at one point it was very, very, it was actually...
inside the circle.
Yeah, exactly. It was halfway between the free throw line and the top of the key. You know, so you had people like Sam Perkins that could make those things, you know, like in their sleep. I mean, Sam Perkins had 39 points against this one game. They were literally all three-pointers.
Mm-hmm. Well, to get off Carolina, and this is Duke week, so we're talking a little bit about Duke. And back in those days, 81, 82, 83, 84, Virginia won those games in Cameron. And I looked at the score in 1983. Speaking about tempo, Virginia won the game in a regular season 104-91. And then, of course, there's the famous ACC tournament game, 109-66, that apparently Coach K still hasn't gotten over some 28 years later.
Oh, I'm sure he's gotten over it. I mean, it was fun for it's especially interesting for us that were there then to see the Duke program turn around, because as you're saying, I mean, they were so weak our first couple years there, but you could see they were building just on on one recruiting class and then another one, so when we were first there, we were destroying them. They really were not competitive. And, by the time, I'm a third year, Johnny Dawkins is there, and they're a good team. Cameron's a great place to play. It's very much like a high school gym, with great sight lines. It's very easy to shoot there. It's very easy to play well. It's a great place.
Yeah, it's an amazing venue and one of college basketball's best venues. I guess Allen Fieldhouse out at Kansas and some places like that that have been around for a while. But it should be a fun game tomorrow night.
I hope so. I'm actually planning on going, so it's going to be the first time I've ever watched a game in Cameron. I'm really excited about it.
You know, I think you're going to be surprised at how tight you are sort of squinched in there in your seats. And one thing to keep in mind there is you want to wear layers of clothes, because once you get inside Cameron, it gets really hot. So you're gonna have to strip down. Otherwise, you'll melt. And
as I recall, the fans there were actually pretty funny. I mean, they and I guess they pass out in advance sort of papers on who's saying what, and they do these chants. And I remember thinking that some of them are actually pretty witty. And when you go there, does everybody stand up, or is it just the student body that's in it?
The students stand, but if the game gets really tight at the end, everybody's up. And
and the crazies will be, I assume you're going down on one of the Virginia team tickets.
It's actually through a friend, through a Duke friend. So I think I'm in the midst of Duke people. So
okay.
We were wondering whether we should paint ourselves the orange and blue just for the fun of it.
Well, you're in for a treat. I would think that this game will be very hotly contested. I think Virginia.
We hope so.
Well, Virginia should. They have a blueprint. We saw what Temple was able to do to Duke.
This is a very good Duke team. This is not the Duke team of Jay Williams, Elton Brand, Corey Maggette, Shane Battier,
or Christian Leitner or somebody.
And those teams. So Duke certainly a good team, not a great team, at least in my opinion. So. Should be fun down there.
I agree with you. I mean, do you guys, why do you think it is that Duke is not recruiting the level of athlete that, you know, they've had in the past? I mean, it seems like there's been a definite, decline. I mean, it's not like they're still really good, but it's not the type of athlete that think of the ones you just mentioned. Those guys are spectacular.
Well, normally on a talk show, we're supposed to ask the questions, but I'll answer that one with Lisa Jim's opinion. when you're speaking of Corey Maggette, Maggette was the first guy that Kay recruited who stayed 1 year and left. And I think it almost offended him. You know, I mean,
there was a guard. There was a guard named Avery.
After that, I had some other guys leave. But I think he decided to change his recruiting patterns to go after guys that he could develop and would stay longer.
Mm-hmm.
Now it remains to be, and he did win a national title. A couple years ago against Butler.
And then he lost that guard last year that played half a season.
But
I think he set a record. He played half a season and left.
But I think it was a conscious decision on his part to maybe recruit a different type of kid as opposed to Carolina. You know, certainly Carolina, Kentucky's the one that they're in and out in a revolving door, but it certainly hasn't hurt the Wildcats thus far.
Yeah.
Tim, let's get back to UVA basketball. You've watched Tony Bennett over these last couple of years develop this team, and now he's got some veteran leadership. He's got some young talent, and he's got another terrific recruiting class coming next year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's joked about actually adding another player to that class. And we understand as of today that Tevin Jones from Fishburne is actually on his way, if he's not already on the grounds, and will be redshirted this year. He's a guard. Just your thoughts on what Bennett is doing and what turns you on about the team.
Oh, I think he is. I think he's great. I think he's doing a great job, and I agree that there's no question that what you want in the program is direction. Whereas it's clearly getting better, and that's really all you can ask for is improvement. And it seems like he's bringing in great kids. It seems like. To some extent, I guess there was issues with some of the kids that at some point, I don't know whether it was 5 years ago or 15 years ago, you kind of forget.
They all blend in.
It just seems like he's doing a great job. And interestingly, it's what he's doing is very similar to maybe what Brian O'Connor did as the baseball coach or the tennis coach. Brian Boland, who built national powerhouse, the lacrosse guy, national powerhouses. And you have all these young coaches who are really quite dynamic and in the sort of the elite levels, and I think that that Tony Bennett can be there too, and it's really quite exciting.
Talk a little bit about the Virginia perimeter kids. You were a perimeter shooter, as was I. Talk a little bit about Harris, Zaglinski, Brogdon, people like that hopefully you'll see make some jump shots tomorrow night.
I love Joe Harris. I think he's a wonderful player. I wish he got more shots. I mean, he strikes me as one of these guys that if you can get him. Do you remember Keith Friel?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a guy that there's a big difference in his game, I bet, if he gets 10 or 15 shots versus 5 or 6.
Yes.
Meaning he just starts playing much better. He can literally shoot himself into a very good rhythm. And I watch practice. Once and I saw him drilling three pointers like you cannot believe. He's got great range and he's actually pretty good off the dribble. But in the couple games I've seen this year, he didn't seem to get many shots, and it didn't seem like there was a lot of plays run for him to get shots. And I don't know if I'm missing something or what. I think he's a wonderful player.
He has drawn more fouls this year already at this point than he did all of last year. So they have taught him to diversify his game and become more than just a jump shooter.
Mm-hmm.
In my humble opinion, I think he is the key to this team. We know what Sammy's going to do. We know what Mike Scott's going to do. Mm-hmm. Brogdon is coming on as a freshman. And really this team needs Joe Harris to be pouring it on because he really has the type of game where he could just kill teams. I mean, those not just the three ball, but by going to the foul line.
No, exactly, and he's actually pretty good at going by people and creating stuff. I think he's a very good player. And Mike Scott, I did not realize his maybe 12 to 15 foot jump shot is as good as it is. And I mean, because if he's going to be a consistent shooter from 15 feet, I mean, he'll probably have a pretty decent NBA career. I mean, he's got a body for it. He rebounds. If you can shoot a jump shot like that as a power forward, you're probably going to be a decent NBA player.
Well, most of his points the other day against Miami were jump shots in that same range, 12 to 15 feet.
It was very impressive. And as you I think I mentioned to you, Jim Miller and I met with Coach Larrañaga, the current Miami coach and former UVA assistant, after the game, and he could not say enough good things about Mike Scott. He just thought he was a wonderful player.
Tim, we've got to do a quick flashback for you. Yeah, we've got a minute or
no.
two. We got a minute or two before we have to go to commercial break, and we always ask our guests, particularly the first time they come on, what was their favorite moment as a Cavalier ball player?
Wow. Oh, the ball player. I was going to say other than tonight, that's his favorite moment.
My favorite moment, I think it was probably Ralph Sampson dunking left-handed when he had a broken finger. He had a broken finger on his right hand, and dunking left-handed and at sort of the end of a close game against Duke. It was actually our first year, and we played without him for the whole game. And he came in at the end, and he had some crazy left-handed windmill dunk. That was about one of my
Was that in
players.
Charlottesville?
That was in Charlottesville. And I have to mention another one was Craig Robinson, who is a power forward, did a very, very impressive dunk off of a rebound over Akeem Olajuwon. That was in Japan. It was one of the most amazing things I'd ever seen.
Well, those were some great days. Tim, we've enjoyed having you on, and maybe down the road we can bring you back and have a great time down there at Cameron Indoor. And thank you for having joined us tonight. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, root hard tomorrow night. I mean, we could use the help. At any rate,
I will. Look for the guy with the orange face paint.
There you go.
Absolutely. All right. Former Cavaliers star Tim Mullen joining us tonight, as well as Ted Jeffries earlier in the hour. We're going to go to break now. When we come back, we'll have the Olympic report and talk about next week's show.